great day to be alive. If you are alive, let me see your hands. Can't tell from your faces. After all of that singing, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Are you glad you're saved? Let me see your hands. Hallelujah. God likes a little action. Great day to be alive. You know, when they were singing tonight, I danced, mentally, I danced all over this platform. That is the God's truth. And if you'd have stood up and turned your backs, I would have danced. Hey, dear God, I grew up in this thing when they called us holy rollers. But anyway, I remember the day after I got saved, I went to school, and a big old Polack came down the hall. I call him a Polack because they called us the Black Aries. And he came down the hall and he said, "Hey, Greenaway, I hear you joined the Holy Rollers." I hauled back and I cold cocked him on the deck. I said, "Don't you ever call me," and then I remembered I was saved. And I said, "Hey, I'm sorry about that. You know, I'm a child of God now." All of that. What else is new? But I went through school without any persecution. I didn't go around knocking heads off, but I don't think they were ever quite sure I wouldn't. God bless the Irish. But I lived to see some of those boys saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel. I remember one day, three of them caught me in an alley. Two of them held me, and the other one beat the fire out of me. I could have whipped, I think, all three of them. But those days were gone, and I stood there, and I wept. I didn't cry because I was hurting. I just couldn't feel it. I wept because one day he reached down his hand for me, and that day, standing there, while they beat the fire out of me, he passed by. And I testified to those boys. I didn't get angry. I could have. And they laughed at me. But I saw two of those boys saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and saw them preach this gospel. You talk about witnessing. The great revival in Brazil has been a great revival, one of the greatest in the world, simply because in Brazil, when a person gets saved, they do not go home and go to bed until they go to their family and tell them that Jesus saved them. They witness. They wake up their fathers and their mothers and their brothers and their sisters, and they say, "Hey, I got saved tonight." No wonder they have revival. People sit around and say, "But hey, I don't have those kind of talents." You're sitting on them. Somebody said you get up off your blessed assurance once in a while. It's amazing what God can do through any of us. And I've learned that one of the greatest feelings that anybody can have is when you witness to somebody. That is the most satisfying thing that a person can do. I remember one day coming in to Little Rock, Arkansas. There was a man sitting beside me. He looked down at my attaché case. He saw stickers from around the world. And he said, "Hey, you travel a lot." I said, "I do." He said, "What are you?" I said, "I'm a missionary." He said, "Then you're a Christian." I said, "I hope to tell you." He said, "You know, I go to church, but I don't know whether I'm a Christian or not." I said, "How long you been going to church?" He said, "All of my life." But he said, "I don't know if I'm a Christian." I said, "Would you like to know?" He said, "I would love to know." The plane was circling, ready to come in for the landing. I said, "If you want to know, give me your hand." And I took his hands in mine. I said, "Now you can know in the next 5 minutes you're saved." And mister, by the time that plane hit the runway, that man was saved and was rejoicing, hallelujah, because Jesus passed by and he accepted him. Dear God, help us tonight. We are living in a death planet, on a death planet. Everything on this planet will die. We're locked in orbit around the sun. We have a few trips around the sun, and then God calls us in. And you know, the devil has had his way on this planet. There's no question, the devil's had his way. He has been angry because Jesus one day invaded his planet. He thought it was his forever. But he forgot to read the book. He forgot to read it. Dear God, Jesus came, invaded this planet, wrought havoc with the powers of darkness, brought light into darkness, dispelled darkness, and then finally became my escape hatch off of this planet. This planet may be burned by fire. Everything on it may be destroyed. But, mister, I have an escape hatch in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to make it because I belong to the only thing that's going to make it, his church. And let me read a text here before I sometimes get into it and then forget to read my text. And they came, I don't tell people where I'm reading because I don't like people trying to find scripture when I'm trying to preach. They never find it. She looks to him when I'm halfway through and says, and missed half of what I'm saying. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't asking for church membership. He wasn't asking for a counseling session. He was desperate, blind, in his darkness, he cried out. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Don't get excited. Hold your peace. Let's not get emotional now. Dear God, the man's blind. He's sitting in darkness. How calm do you want him to be when the only opportunity he will ever have to be healed is passing by? Amen? And he is passing by tonight. And they charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried all the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. And Jesus stood still. He will stand still tonight whenever he feels need crying out to him. He will stand still. There's a lot of things that I could preach tonight, but the longer I live in this city of Baton Rouge, the more I'm concerned with the people that live here. This is a wicked city. But it is a great city. And I believe that it is in for revival. Whether they want it or not, they're going to get it. Amen. When Jesus passed by, when he passes by, whosoever will may come. No laws, programs, policies, and procedures control when he passes by. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, man. Hey, rejoice and be glad, because he's asking for you. And he, casting away his garment, anything that would impede him, nothing mattered. Man, the man was calling him. And I got news for you, mister. When you really hear his voice, when you really reach out in need to him, you don't stand on a lot of ceremony and pomp. Because he's the God of the hour, of the moment. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt that I shall do unto thee? And the blind man said, that I may receive my sight. How many times over this world I have walked where he walked. You know, none of us go anywhere, do anything that he hasn't been there before. In every storm, in all of the darkness through which we walk. If you look out there, he is always out there ahead of us saying, hey, follow me. Follow me. He doesn't say that where you are, there will I be also. He said that where I am, there ye may be also. I remember in Afghanistan when, are you with me? Let me see your hands. I can't tell from your faces. But I remember in Afghanistan when my good friend Dr. Christie Wilson, a Presbyterian full of the Holy Ghost, and buddy, that's a combination. Christie Wilson, one of the greatest men of God that I have ever met in my life, a man that taught me how to pray, really, in a land where you can't preach, in a land where it is against the law to preach a sermon, nobody stops you from praying. And I remember the first time I got off a plane in Kabul and I met him. He was at the steps of the plane. How he got through security and everything, I'll never know. But as I stepped off the plane, there was a crowd getting off. He shook my hand and said, let's pray. And I looked around and there was Muslims, Shintoists, Buddhists, Hindus, all in prayer. I couldn't believe it. The man couldn't preach, but he could pray. And here's how he prayed. Oh God, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross, whose blood we shed. I'm looking around. Here's a Muslim. You're God in a land where you can't preach. But everybody, the whole thing stops when you start to pray. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on Calvary's hill that we might be saved. And if we ask forgiveness, and everybody's still praying. We go into customs. I get my bag. He said, let's pray. Everybody is gathered around and we are praying. He said, oh God, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross. You talk about Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus passing by. Dear God, what a man. We got outside to the car. He said, let's play before we go. He said, let's go back in there. We went back in. He said, I want you to meet somebody. Took me in a little dirty little old restaurant. And he got me in there and introduced me to about 10 people. And then he said, let's play. I mean, buddy, everything stopped. And everybody is in prayer. Well, he says one more time, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross. Dear Lord, he prayed 30, I counted, 30 times till he got me to the hotel. Everybody we met on the street introduced me, let's pray. Got me up in my room in the hotel, and he said, I'll see you at 5:30. But before I go, I said, let's pray. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank God, let's pray. But I want you to know that Christy Wilson built a tremendous church in Kabul. They hauled the steel all the way from Calcutta, first on the wide gauge track, then changed it over there in the desert to the narrow gauge, took it up to the foot of the Himalayas, and then with huge trucks, they trucked it over the mountains and got that steel in there, got that church up. But there was a Muslim that lived. He was a senator. He lived just across from the church. And when he saw that fire get higher than his house, he started a fight. And the end of that fight was that Christy Wilson had to tear that church down. No, they tore it down. And they dug down into the earth 6 feet and carried the dirt away, thinking that thereby they had contained he who passeth by. They thought they had him, and they threw him on the dung heap with the dirt because they went down 6 feet. And they said he couldn't have lived further down than 6 feet, so now they were rid of him. And Christy Wilson was deported. But I want you to know, 2 days later, the Afghani government fell, and the Russians invaded, and they have been living in hell ever since. Mister, let me tell you something. You don't cart him away in a truck. No way. You don't put him in a corner. You don't hang him on a tree. You don't even paint him on a canvas. He is the resurrection and the life, the power and the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. As he passes by, he passed by in Poland. I have preached in Poland when it was 6 degrees below zero inside the church. Take the windows out. Watch the Poles kneel in the sleet and in the snow while Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and they cried out, have mercy on me. Amen. That's what it's all about. The bottom line is, have we met him who passes by? Amen. We can sing. We can recite poetry. We can do a lot of things. But the bottom line is, have we met him? Do we know him? I remember Poland in Warsaw, and at the cornerstone of the Bible house. I want you to see it when you go to Warsaw. And it's the cornerstone of the old Bible house, which was destroyed in World War II. That old Bible house was blown to smithereens. 6,000 Jews adjacent lost their lives. But at the end of the war, after when the bulldozers were pushing together the debris, one of the bulldozer blades hung up on a huge rock, rolled it out of the ground. It was the cornerstone of the old Bible house, and still chiseled on it, and still chiseled on it today are the words, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word endureth forever and ever and ever and ever." Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I got news for you, mister. When he passes by, something happens. The world is not really responding to this parade of just buildings, of just singing, of just programming. Preachers, churches that are teaching, "Come and get over suffering." When Paul said, "Come and take your cross," amen. Whatever this religion is tonight, mister, it's a religion of commitment, sacrifice, and cross. You take commitment out of it, and there's nothing left. And they are saying, "Come and get over your hurt." I hear men talking about, "Send me your money and I'll give you a blessed pocketbook." A blessed pocketbook. I remember one night, somebody was offering feathers, chicken feathers. "Send in your offering." During World War II, he said, "I'll send you a bomb-proof shelter." And he took that scripture, "Under his wings thou shalt abide." And he was giving everybody a chicken feather. Under his wings. I'm going to tell you something, mister. There is a difference in that and when Jesus passes by. Amen. Blind, dirty, this man was lost in the crowd. He reached the conclusion that Jesus was his only hope, and that he reached the conclusion that he was the Son of God, and that he could do anything. Hallelujah. And when he reached that conclusion, he said, "Now, if I can get his attention, if I can get his attention, he's going to do something for me. So give me a card that I can fill out." He did not. "Give me 10 counseling sessions on how to meet the master." He did not. He started from the ground up, mister. He knew who he was. He knew his problem. And he knew if he could get his attention, he screamed, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." I remember the day, and I've told some of you this before, but I remember the day preaching to several thousand Africans when down through the crowd came a witch doctor. I'm not talking about a medicine man. I'm talking about a person full of the devil incarnate. I'm talking about a man with power that could reach out with a baton, make a pass at a man. I've seen him drop, lie in a trance for 3 days while the family of that man sacrificed every chicken, every goat, every animal they could find. And then 3 or 4 days later, the witch doctor, that devil comes back, gets down, whispers in his ear, and he gets up and walks off like he had been in a drunken stupor. But I remember that day when that devil came down towards me, and he walked up to me, and he was covered with cow dung, a horrible mess. He looked at me, and he said, "Mamna Tunyamba," he said, "I'm gonna kill you." Dear God, what do I do now? I didn't even have my Matthew Henry commentary. Devil, D-E-D. Devil. D. Devil. D. No way, man. I got the devil there. What am I going to do now? I got to call a pastor. Dear God, Brother Rince, I got a devil here. What do I do now? See, Brother Miller. Oh. That's his section. Oh, we got it down to a science. You handle your devils, I'll handle mine. No way, man. I had the devil there. No phone, no Matthew Henry, no nothing. But I had a loud voice in those years. I didn't know what to do, but I got right up in his, got my Bible like this. It got right up in his face. Dear God. And I got right up in his face and I screamed. I mean, I screamed. Jesus, help me! And he hit, and it scared that devil. He went, "Hey, hold the line. Hold the line." And I found out it worked, so I screamed it again. And I screamed it again. And I got him into a grain patch where he could run. And the club's still up in the air. Far as I know, he is still running. I never saw that devil again. No way did I ever see that devil again. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The bottom line is that he who passeth by, he's alive. He's powerful. Amen. Greater than the powers of darkness. Dear God, the man couldn't get the attention of dead Buddhists. Or the dozens of great leaders of great religions. One thing I always ask a Buddhist, a Shintoist, a Hindu, I ask them when they start arguing with me, "Hey, is your leader alive?" "No." Well, I said, "Look, mine is." Thank God he lives. Thank God he's alive forevermore. I said, "Mine's alive. When yours get alive, let me know. And we'll talk a little bit about it." Amen. But the man that was passing by was alive. Amen. He was there in person. That boy could feel it. I don't care what your need is tonight. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Amen. He's passing through this crowd tonight. I can feel him. Dear God, how many times during this service I wanted to jump up and just scream. And nobody would have heard me. You were all making a lot of noise. But dear God, these people. Now I'd better not get on there. He knew the name of Jesus. He knew it wasn't just one of the Jones boys or one of the Browns. No, he knew, hallelujah, that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew that he was the God of the prophets and the apostles. He knew that he was the God of the Joneses and the Browns and the Smiths. Hallelujah. That's what I like about this. He is the God of Tom, Dick, and Harry. We're all included. Hallelujah. You know, we can all get his attention tonight. I don't care who you are in here. I don't care what your burden is. You can touch him because he's here. Oh, I know that the cloud sometimes damns more than it saves. Somehow the cloud is always around to try and make you ashamed of your need. And we have a tendency to be ashamed. The blind man was not ashamed, thank God. You may not be blind physically tonight, but your need can have you as blind as any blind man that ever was. We have a tendency today to say, let's not any of us get out of step. Let's be a beautiful organization. Dear God, in my years on 3 continents, it wasn't the beauty of my sermon or the beauty of my organization that took the foundation of tribes, whole tribes that never heard of Jesus until they heard it from us. Over the trails that we walked, into the jungles and on the plains and in the deserts where we walked, it was not some beautiful creed that we recited and people found Jesus. No, you went forward rebuking the powers of hell, rebuking the powers of darkness, and suddenly he would come on the scene. Hallelujah. And as he passed by, somebody would reach out and touch him. And when they touched him, it usually was the beginning of revival. People are saying today there's signs over some of our churches, no suffering allowed here. No suffering allowed. No hurting wanted. I am a part of this church tonight in whatever way I'm a part of it. I am a part of it because I believe it has the answer. And I believe that you can come here with your needs. You can come here tonight with your problems. You can come here with your hurts. And he'll set you free. Quenching our enthusiasm and saying, hey, don't get too emotional now. I often wonder where that devil came from that tells us you can't be emotional. When I know that we live on second-handed emotions in this land. I was in a pastor's house one day, and we were going out to lunch, and he said, we'll have to wait a bit. I said, it's 12 o'clock or something. He said, well, my wife can't go yet. I said, why? She has her hat on. Oh, he said, she watches the program. I thought, dear God, edge of night, dark of day, or something. And I looked in the room, and there she was, bruised. And I said to him, dear God, man, let's go to lunch. I said, I can turn one of those episodes on. See the first episode, go to Africa, spend 4 years, come back home, turn it on, and they haven't quite got the door closed yet. Second-handed emotions, that's what we're living on. Go to a ball game, They'll knock your head off with emotion. I had a guy one day beat me to death. Pounded me every time somebody hit the ball. He was crazy. I told him he was crazy. I thank God that one day he passed by in my life. Amen. And I reached out and I got a hold of something. Not second-handed emotion. I got a hold of emotion direct, hallelujah, from the throne of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He saved me. I got news for you, mister, that they say that 50% of people who help people are emotional people. You can't help people unless you get emotional. That's right. 50% of the people that help people are emotional people. How do you like that? No wonder. I heard it last weekend in Wheeling, West Virginia. As somebody stood in a congregation before I preached and prayed, oh God, anoint him tonight. And I'm saying, dear God, anoint that bunch out there. I was anointed when you called me. And I told him about it. I said, you get up there and say, oh God, anoint the speaker. Then you sit there like you're dead. Are you with me? Let me see your hands. Can't tell by your faces. You may be out of the mainstream of life. You may feel that life is passing you by, but if you're ready, he will stand still tonight. He's ready to stand still and listen to your needs. Amen. I don't care who you are. He'll listen to your needs. Because he is the unconceivable Christ. He cannot be hidden. The unconceivable. He could not be hidden in eternity. He came from eternity. He is eternity. Eternity couldn't hide him. You can't hide him. I can't hide him. No church can hide him. Communism, Shintoism, Buddhism, Islam cannot hide him. They've tried to hide him. They've tried to relegate him to another Buddha. They have tried to relegate him to another prophet. But he is not just another prophet. He is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah, the power and the glory. He is the need. He's Christ. He cannot be hidden in history. Well, history has tried to hide him. You read history. They try to hide him. And finally, not to even mention him. But he still comes forth. Amen, because he was born to serve. And born to set free. And born to heal. Hallelujah. He was born the Savior. Amen. The Savior. Amen. Not just another prophet, but the Savior. The only Savior. Amen. God help us. Need always finds him. Did you know that? Need always. And tonight, I pray that whatever your need might be, remember that he's passing by, that he will meet your need. Amen. as I have seen him meet the needs of so many years. I think tonight of the great parade of men and women by the thousands that in my lifetime I have been privileged to behold. The thousands that have been saved, the great revival. And I got news for you tonight. There is now the greatest move in the Muslim world that ever has been in the history of the world. Amen. Our church in Tehran, that great evangelistic center tonight, I just received a letter, is overflowing. Amen. Overflowing. And Jesus is passing by in front of the Ayatollah Khomeini. Amen. In spite of the Shiites and in spite of the Sunnis, hallelujah, he passes by. Amen. He's still alive. He's still in business tonight. In Isfahan, down where they make the beautiful Persian carpet, he is alive tonight. They tell me the church is overflowing. Up in Gorgo on the Caspian Sea, the most Muslim city in the world, the church up there is full tonight. Oh, lives have been lost. Lives have been given. But the church stands tonight as the great proof that God Almighty is still passing by. Amen. He is still meeting every need. Oh, I thank God. I thank God that one day he's not going to be merely passing by. One day he's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This time he's not just walking down a dusty street or a dusty place. This time he's coming, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's coming. Do you believe that tonight? How many of you believe it? Let me see your hands. He is coming. Say it. Say it again. Say it again. He is coming. I remember years ago, almost 40 years now, when the King of England and the Queen came to Nigeria. Oh, what a day that was. They had prepared for years. I remember we made a trip down in to Nigeria, down to Umahia, Aba, and Port Lagos. And I remember all of the preparation. Hey, what's all of this about? Hey, don't you know, man, the King is coming. The King is coming. That's all I heard. They finally picked a dossier that thick that would tell where the King and the Queen would be every half hour for 3 or 4 weeks. Time and Newsweek, all of the great newspapers of the world, all of these editors were there. The journalists were there. They stood around at night drinking aperitifs, and they had taken so many shots during the day that they were still doing this. They were still taking pictures. One fellow said to me, he said, "My Lord," he said, "I just got a call from the state. My first 1,000 pictures are out of focus. Something wrong with my camera." And he was standing there going like this. Every village, from the coast all the way to the north, the banners were out saying that the King is coming. The King will be here. He's coming. And I thought, dear God, what a day that will be. when one day the notice is given in heaven, oh, hallelujah, and the angels get ready with their trumpets to sound out across this world, the King is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth is not merely passing by now. He's coming for us. He is coming for us. Hallelujah. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Father, tonight as you look down upon us, for who can declare His glory? And who can declare His grace? And who can declare His greatness? Father, tonight move upon us. Dear God, only You know how many needs there are here tonight. Dear Lord, only You know. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, how many of us can say, Brother Greenaway, I have an